I am becoming convinced more and more that one of the keys to personal success, if you will, leadership, is learning to live in tension. And the tension that I have in mind this morning is the tension between these two poles here. On one hand, it's the tension of being delighted with the very fact that you exist, that you are alive. You ought to get up in the morning and say, wow, right? I'm alive. And on the other pole, being serious about life. Being serious about life. I've used this illustration before, and please forgive me, I'm going to use it again, because I can't think of anything this morning that would be more appropriate, which that movie, Chariots of Fire. In the mid-40s, the Scottish runner, Eric Liddell, I think it is, or Liddell, in the movie, anyway, this is the way it was portrayed, he was responding to his sister's encouragement for the serious side of life. She was trying to get him to fulfill his vision to be a missionary to China. They were Christian missionaries, very serious Christians. And she was pulling him in that direction, and he's trying to get the job done there in the Olympics. And I'll never forget the scene. I hope it was important to you as well. He looked at her, and he said to his sister, he's made me for a purpose. That's serious. He's made me for a purpose. And he's made me fast. When I run, I sense his pleasure. You get the idea. That's a great illustration of that. 300 years ago, a bunch of English scholars, they got together for years. They scoured the Bible. They tried to answer the question, what is the chief end of man? In other words, what should we be striving for in our lives? What is our chief end? Look what they came up with. Those of you who went to Sunday school as kids probably remember this. The chief end of man is to glorify God. That's pretty serious, right? And fully to enjoy Him forever. Wow. That's great. You see the tension. And the key, the thesis here this morning is if you want to be successful, you've got to learn to live in that tension. Today, we begin the finale of Solomon's massive argument on God and man and how to get meaning out of life. I want you to see this morning, as we open the scriptures to the book of Ecclesiastes, I want you to see that same tension in God's timeless word written 3,000 years ago. Open to the 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes. And this is where they all got it. This is where Lytle and the writers of the catechism, this is where they get, we're going to the source documents here. That's what we do here on Friday morning. We look at the source document, the scripture, which has always been the principal source for learning how to be a success. Charlie, this is my deal up here. Huh? Yeah. Okay, you had your 5 minutes, I get my 15. That's the way it works here. You know that ad on TV where the two policemen are talking, they're eating a donut or something, the guy says, for crying out loud, it's like I'm married to you. I was with them last night, I was with them today, you know. Okay, here we go. Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. We'll look at verses 7 through 10 today. With exclamation, Solomon, writing 3,000 years ago, he writes, light is sweet, verse 7, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. our present life meant was meant to be joyous as well as pleasant to the eyes as the rising sun in the morning light. Russ Neal was telling me about an experience he and Lloyd Packard had the other day in his airplane, flying into the sun, flying west in the sun. Were you? Was it late in the afternoon? Well, I think this is this could have been in the afternoon. They didn't have airplanes back then. So. Now listen, the same thought from the same Holy Spirit written through Isaiah when he says in Isaiah 61, "Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." If we live many years, Solomon says, in verse 8, he counsels that we should enjoy them all. Look at this, verse 8. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. So what's the thought here as we start off? Enjoyment. Delight with the very fact that you're alive. Don't ever take it for granted. We have to be reminded of that, don't we, as we turn the crank. Right, Larry? As we turn the crank, day after day, get up, Monday morning, make the calls, right? Accounts receivable, marketing problems, etc., etc. We have to remind ourselves, if we're going to be biblical leaders, to delight and rejoice in life. But notice the shift here in verse 8 with the but. With the but here, he says, "But let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many, everything to come is meaningless." There's a shift here. Light has to give way to the inevitable days of darkness. Seriously, men, and this is one of the main arguments of Solomon in Ecclesiastes, we are all going to face disease and death when we must go to the grave and meet our Maker and the Inspector General and Judge of the whole universe. Now let me explain, when we talk about judgment, because that's going to be a key theme here for the next 2-3 weeks as we finale here. When we talk about judgment, for the man who is in Christ, judgment has nothing to do with condemnation. For instance, in the New Testament, Paul writing to the Romans, he says in Romans 8:1, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. For those that are in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death." So there's not even a hint for the Christian of any condemnation. But the key thought that you want to have when you think about the judgment, if you're in Christ, is you want to have a story to tell. When you sit before the Lord, how is he going to say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant, if there is no benchmark or no goal or no serious dimension to life? He's made me for a purpose." He knew he had a purpose, and he knew he had something to do, and he's made me fast. The question here that I sent you all in the leader line, if you didn't get one, there's some more down there. Most of you should have gotten this if you're on the list. We sent out this questionnaire, 1997 planning. Going into 1997, remember, it's important to write the important things down. And there was a question here. What is your primary aim, your purpose? What would I like to say about my life after it is too late to do anything about it? The purpose of that question, it's designed to get you to focus on the serious fact of life. Someday you're going to get old and die. Right? Is that a fact? Okay. That question is designed to remind you of that. Verse 9, he says, "Be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment." Yes, enjoy whatever you see or desire, but remember the tension. In the midst of your enjoyment, remember God will review at the judgment the quality of your pleasures. So it's not an open carte blanche hunting license to do whatever you want to do. Now, right on time. Thank you, Charlie. You're a good boy today. In addition to hunting, fishing, golf, and tennis, why don't we learn and teach our kids some of the other ways to really enjoy life? And what I have in mind here, why don't we teach people to learn how to give? You know, what does Jesus say about giving? In the vein of his being an enjoyable thing. It's better to more blessed to give than to receive. Why don't we learn that and teach our kids that? Sometimes I think we equate enjoyment only to vacations or recreational activity. Huh? How about the word? Young Jeremiah was a young man 2,500 years ago or so, and he exclaimed, he said, "Thy words," talking about the Bible, "thy words were found, and I did eat them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." He was so excited about the Scriptures. Are you and are your children that excited about the Scriptures? And how about the enjoyment of prayer? You know, the Scripture says that when we pray, it is the delight of the Lord. He's delighted. Shouldn't we be delighted? Do you look forward to praying? Rejoice and delight yourself in the thrill of living, Solomon is saying, but put a prudent tone in your life. And he says, do it as soon as possible because you aren't going to live forever. But apparently the old axiom is very, very true. Youth is wasted on the young, right? He didn't learn it. He's writing this as an old man after he made all the mistakes, right? Okay. As we conclude today, verse 10. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off all troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. The word meaningless means it's a vapor. It's a puff of smoke. It's going to be gone. It's fleeting. The older translation says it's vanity, meaning it's just not going to be around very long. As much as we would like to make this heaven on earth, it is not heaven on earth. That's the whole argument, right? Okay? Solomon goes a step further. He adds a moral dimension to this thing. Let me quote a famous writer from the 19th century. He says, "Youthful sins lay a foundation for aged sorrows." You get that? Youthful sins lay a foundation for aged sorrows. And what he has in mind here, Solomon in this 10th verse, is that young people and people like us need to learn to be, first of all, chaste. They've proven that any sexual activity prior to marriage, diminishes the joy that you would have in marriage. We need to learn that and teach that to our kids. No sex, no marriage, no sex. That's God's way. I hear about Christian families that leave condoms out for their kids because they're afraid that they're going to, you know, come on. They're just buying into the whole lie of our culture. These are Christian families that are doing this. Teach our kids to be chaste, to plan their finances, to learn how to budget, to avoid debt, to learn how to tell the truth, and to learn how to resolve conflict. I know people that have been living with conflict for 30, 40 years. And what happens, it just layers over, and after a while they lose all the joy in life. To learn how to enjoy richer relationships. Solomon says youth and vigor are meaningless. Learn these skills while you're young enough to enjoy them for the rest of your life. His argument is that youth and life are so transient or fleeting that now is the time to build good habits of health and holiness. Take care of your mind, your body, and your spirit so you can enjoy all of life. A key to personal success, as we conclude this morning, is learning how to live in the tension of delight and seriousness. Let's have prayer together this morning. Father, thank you for the tension that you present to us in the Holy Scriptures, written by your servant Solomon 3,000 years ago, but as applicable today as it was 300 years ago, 50 years ago, because this is your word, it is timeless. Thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.